You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Republicans in the Wisconsin State Assembly voted yesterday in favor of a bill calling for a statewide binding referendum on banning abortions after 14 weeks of gestation. That comes after lots of back and forth on abortion law here in the state. In its 2022 Dobbs decision, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the right to abortion provided by Roe v. Wade. As a result, an 1849 Wisconsin law came back into effect, banning all abortions except in cases of extreme medical necessity. But last year, a Dane County judge interpreted the state's law from 1849 as applying to infanticide, not abortion. While the matter's likely headed to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, some providers in the state have resumed offering abortion services. We're going to talk about that recently passed assembly bill, a likely veto of that bill, and Governor Evers announcing earlier this week his plan to provide free birth control over the counter to recipients of Badger Care, and how it all fits into wider debates about reproductive care issues in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this bill out of the assembly? A Republican saying, hey, Wisconsinites should get to have a say as to whether abortion should be illegal after 14 weeks. How accessible is abortion and contraceptive care where you live? Did you see a change after the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision? Join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Jenny Higgins is a professor of obstetrics and gynecology at UW-Madison, where she's director of the Population and Reproductive Health Division and director of the Collaborative for Reproductive Equity. Jenny, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. It's nice to be here. Nice to meet you.
And you too. Well, I want to start with this law passed by the assembly. It still has ways to go. It'd have to go to Governor Evers, likely to veto it. But I want to give a listen to Republican Wisconsin Representative Amanda Nedweski from Assembly District 61, including Pleasant Prairie. Here she is previewing the bill.
43 out of 50 states prohibit abortions after a point in time in pregnancy. Most European countries also limit abortions to the first trimester. Allowing abortion well into the second trimester is rare throughout the U.S. and the rest of the civilized world. We are here to ask the people of Wisconsin if they agree. The proposed ballot question in AB 975 is responsive to standards that public opinion has deemed normal in many other states, whether we like that or not. Moving from 20 weeks to 14 weeks could save hundreds of lives.
I want to get some background on abortions and the timing. First of all, what do we know about when abortions usually happen during the progression of a pregnancy?
Yeah, it's a great question. So most abortions in the United States take place in the first trimester of pregnancy. So in Wisconsin, the last year from which we have data for this, 88% of abortions occurred within the first trimester of pregnancy, and the remaining 12% took place after the first trimester. I think it's important to not only have your listeners know that abortions after the first trimester are relatively uncommon, but they also are a really, really important service for a variety of different types of people for a different type of types of reasons. And this sort of nuance might be hard to get across to voters in a referendum. So does that answer your question about the prevalence of first versus second trimester abortions in Wisconsin?
It does. And it gives me an obvious follow-up. When people are seeking abortions after that first trimester, and I'm gathering that's in that 12 to 14 week range, what is leading that to that decision in most cases?
There are several reasons for folks seeking abortion care after 12 weeks. One, and this is thanks to my UW-Madison colleague, Jenna Nobles, and her research. One reason is that there are some physiologic reasons for some people for later detection of pregnancy. So many people may be unable to physiologically know that they're pregnant early on in the first trimester due to chronic health conditions such as polycystic ovarian syndrome or diabetes, and therefore bans that cut into gestational age could be unconstitutional to folks who are facing those types of healthcare conditions and healthcare issues. So that's one group. That's one reason. Another reason is that many restrictions in Wisconsin and elsewhere make abortions really difficult to get, even if they're clinically available. So because of Medicaid prohibitions, because of 24-hour waiting periods, because of the need to take time off from work and miss wages and find childcare and whatnot, people need more and more time to raise the funds and to get through the logistical hurdles to actually get care. So many people are delayed in getting abortions within the first trimester, not because they aren't clear that they want an abortion, but because they cannot access one easily given all their existing restrictions. And of course, finally, some people may be learning about a health condition or a fetal condition later in the pregnancy than is possible in the first trimester. And this is a small but very important group of people who need care, abortion care later in pregnancy.
Now, a lot of times abortion restrictions will have an exception in case of a threat to the life of the mother. That can be evaluated a lot of different ways, I've heard. It can be hard to say 100% in some cases. How does that kind of exception typically work, especially as we're getting into mid and later pregnancy?
Yeah, it's a great question, and one I would want to defer to my policy colleagues on this. But something like a fetal anomaly that would lead to immediate demise of the fetus upon having that condition and being birthed, that is not an immediate threat to the health of the pregnant person, but can still be a really important reason why people do seek termination later in pregnancy versus being forced to give full term birth to a fetus that has not been alive for several months. So it's a really complicated and very morally complex thicket. And yet the cases that the reasons people seek care after the first trimester are usually for a really good range of personal, medical, and logistical reasons.
We are talking to Jenny Higgins, professor of obstetrics and gynecology at UW-Madison, about laws relating to abortion and some of the timelines when we talk about cutoff dates in abortion laws. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your thoughts on what you'd like to see laws in Wisconsin look like, abortion access and contraceptive access look like in Wisconsin. Join in at 800-642-1234. Jenny, can you take us back now before the Dobbs decision, before the U.S. Supreme Court changed things and reverted a lot of state laws into effect? How accessible were abortions in Wisconsin, and how might that vary from person to person, place to place?
Yeah, it's a great question. While the Dobbs decision was a dramatic change to the abortion care landscape, abortion in Wisconsin had been very hard to access for many people for years before the Dobbs decision. And this is especially true for people living on low incomes, because people must pay for abortion care out of pocket in a way that they don't have to pay for prenatal care or birthing costs out of pocket in our state. It's also true for people living in rural areas and in northern areas of the state. So prior to Dobbs, and now currently in our state, abortion care is available in three different places: in Dane County, in Milwaukee County, and in Sheboygan County, very recently in Sheboygan County. While those places can serve a good part of the southern part of the state, that leaves 69 counties in our state without an abortion provider and large swaths of the northern and western part of our state without abortion care nearby. And research has shown that even a driving distance of 100 miles can be insurmountable for someone who is facing financial scarcity, childcare challenges, and other things. So abortion care, I say, was already hard to get. And my colleagues at UW-Madison, Joanna Venator and Jason Fletcher, had done an analysis of birth data and abortion data in Wisconsin in the years between 2010 and 2017, when a host of restrictions in our state led to the closure of two clinics in our state. So one in Appleton closed down and one in Green Bay. And the authors or the investigators found that counties that lost the most distance to those clinics experienced significant increases in birth rates and significant decreases in abortion rates, suggesting that even before the Dobbs decision, people in Wisconsin were being forced or back-ended into giving birth and carrying pregnancies to term who wouldn't have done so had abortion been more available.
We're talking to Jenny Higgins, professor of obstetrics and gynecology at UW-Madison, looking at access to different kinds of reproductive health care in Wisconsin. Republicans in the state assembly passed a bill yesterday that would call for a state referendum on a ban on abortions after 14 weeks of pregnancy. That still has a ways to go, including through the governor's office. And we'll talk about Governor Evers' plan to provide contraceptive medication over the counter for free for BadgerCare recipients. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions for our guest? Do you think that various kinds of abortion limitations should go to a voter referendum? Why or why not? Is this an issue that motivates you to go to the polls and vote? Is this something that's affected you in your life, in your family as well? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk about the state of reproductive health care in Wisconsin with Jenny Higgins. She's a professor of obstetrics and gynecology at UW-Madison, where she's director of the Population Reproductive Health Division and director of the Collaborative for Reproductive Equity. A couple things going on, of course, back and forth on an old state law since the Dobbs decision at the U.S. Supreme Court. Assembly passing a bill saying, hey, voters, you decide on a 14-week abortion ban. And we'll talk about that next. Governor Evers saying contraceptive care free for some versions of it free for BadgerCare recipients. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Jenny, as I've mentioned, we heard from Governor Tony Evers this in the State of the State address that he's going to make over-the-counter contraceptives free to recipients of BadgerCare. Can you talk about what that could mean for access to birth control, especially for low-income people who might be on BadgerCare?
Yeah, that is a decision that could certainly increase access to contraceptive care, especially for folks living with financial scarcity or living on low incomes. We've done some research, or some of our colleagues at the Guttmacher Institute have done research to show that Wisconsinites have a pretty wide variety of preferences for how they want to receive contraceptive care, right? Some people like going to a doctor's office. Some people like getting telehealth. And we found that 40% said their top preference for receiving contraception would be at a pharmacy. So we see that for some people in our state, getting birth control available over the counter is a preference that this policy would help meet. Granted, this Evers decision only is in regards to emergency contraception as opposed to all other types of hormonal contraception that we know can be delivered safely by pharmacy. So perhaps it's a step in the direction to getting other FDA-approved methods available over-the-counter as well.
So we're going to call her at 800-642-1234. Dick is with us in Brooklyn. Dick, hi.
Hi, and I'd just like to make a comment. I find a fair amount of hypocrisy in the fact that the same folks that want to limit access to abortion are also the same folks who want to limit access to contraception, to prenatal care facilities, to health care for youth, or to provide lunches for schools. So they don't want to allow the abortion, but they don't want to help care for those kids after they're born.
Dick, thanks for the call. Jenny, I don't know if you want to get into the politics. I want to take one of the points Dick mentioned there. Does contraceptive access, say a state with high levels of contraception access, reduce demand for abortions? Is there any research on that? Do we know anything about that?
Yes, certainly. I mean, the more patient-centered, comprehensive contraceptive services a place has available, the more people are better able to prevent pregnancies, right? And so I think that we can lean into pregnancy prevention as well as the social safety net as really important common ground on this issue. I think that abortion can be very deeply personal and moral, even though, of course, as a professional person in medicine and public health, part of my professional mandate is to support access to abortion. I appreciate that it's a really complicated issue, but I do feel as if we really can, at a minimum, come to common ground over how do we help provide care and services to people who want to prevent pregnancies and who may need social safety net support if and when they do have children.
Thanks again for that call, Dick, at 800-642-1234. Randy joins us now in Ozaukee County. Randy, hi.
Hi there.
What did you want to bring up?
So my question, comment, concern is a lot of the abortion laws are made with the females in sight, but I am questioning, is it a consideration to bring the males who are also a part of the reproduction process for terminating a pregnancy and also having a say into any of the laws that are being brought forth to protect the men on the opposite side of wanting the child versus the female wanting to have an abortion?
Randy, thanks for the call. This is an argument that comes up sometimes, Jenny, that men should be part of the abortion decision for the pregnant woman. Do you have thoughts on that and the impact it might have?
Oh my gosh, it's such a great, complicated question. And we're analyzing some data right now in my team around involvement of the co-conceiver, involvement of the other person in the pregnancy and abortion decision. So I really appreciate your question, Randy. I will remind your listeners that there are excellent contraceptive options for people who have sperm, right? And while I'd like to see more and more shorter acting methods, certainly vasectomy is a method of contraception, granted a permanent one, that has one third of the side effects and is also cheaper than tubal ligation, or what we think of as called sometimes female sterilization. So I don't want us to forget about the fact that people who produce sperm can really play an active role in contraception, including through use of condoms that we shouldn't overlook.
Thanks for that call, Randy, at 800-642-1234. Talking to Jenny Higgins, professor at UW-Madison, looking at abortion access, contraceptive access here in Wisconsin. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. Jenny, I know it's no secret to you. You are in a line of research into an issue that is one of the most politically polarized, I think, in the country, or at least there are very strong opinions out there. How does that affect you as a researcher as you tackle these issues and try to make sense of them?
Yes, it's a question I grapple with each day, especially working at a large public institution, right, in a state that's politically complicated. I really love doing this research here in Wisconsin because there is such a need to document the harms or the impacts of restrictions on reproductive health care on Wisconsinites. So I'm really grateful to be doing the work in the state, but it does get really tricky. And I think that in an era of toxic polarization, really trying to connect with folks on what our evidence shows and what our research shows, while also holding that this is a personal issue. And what I encourage folks to think about is less whether they think abortion personally is moral or immoral, but more would they get in the way of a pregnant person making her own decision in consultation with her partner, her family, and her doctor. So that's what I may encourage your listeners to think about.
And one thing I'm curious about before we let you go, we had a period in Wisconsin between the Dobbs decision and then this Dane County judge saying, wait, hold on, the 1849 law doesn't block abortions, where effectively there were no or very, very limited abortions in Wisconsin. What do we know about the impact that had and people seeking abortions in neighboring states with different laws?
Yeah, so we know, of course, that when Roe v. Wade was overturned, all abortion services ceased in our state until September of this last year. So for over a year, there were no abortions available in the formal healthcare system in Wisconsin, except in cases of life-threatening situations to the pregnant person. So we have evidence from before Dobbs that about 16% of all abortion patients in Wisconsin were already leaving the state to get care. And while we don't have updated numbers yet on the post-Dobbs months, we would anticipate that quite a larger percent of Wisconsinites traveled out of state to get care as a result of services being unavailable here. And so we know that some people have been able to travel out of state, but we have evidence that several hundred people a month following the Dobbs decision were not able to get over those obstacles to get state out of to get care out of state, and were back into carrying pregnancies to term that they would not have otherwise.
Jenny, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you. I really appreciate you paying attention to this fascinating and really important issue.
That's Jenny Higgins, professor of obstetrics and gynecology at UW-Madison, director of the Collaborative for Reproductive Equity. She was with us to talk about reproductive health care access in the state after Assembly Republicans passed a bill yesterday calling for a binding statewide referendum on establishing a ban for abortions after 14 weeks of pregnancy. It's a long road to go before that would actually come into practice.